It's good to be in church. Amen. Good to be in church. Amen. I've had days like you talked about, Brother Mike, and good thing about it, it's not, like you said, leaving God is not a consideration. That's not on the option table. It might have been for many of us, including myself, years ago when we were young in the Lord and trying to find our way. But God's been too good to me to even consider for a moment any other way of life other than trying to serve Him. Amen. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm in this for keeps. Regardless of what happens, regardless of how much pain, regardless of how much misery, regardless of how broke, regardless of how aggravated and restless and frustrated, and whatever may happen, amen. I can't think of anybody on this earth that I like better than God. I can't think of anybody that's been better to me than God. And the messes we get into, I can't think of anybody that can get me out of them better than God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I love Him. Amen. I want to read a scripture here too and probably let you go shortly, if it be the Lord's will. I'm in the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Fourth chapter, 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is. It is in the world, or is it in the world already now. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You may be seated. Amen. There's two things that we always are confronted with, that which is true and that which is false. Amen. And it goes along with, we always have to face life knowing that some things are good, some things are bad. Some things are right, some things are wrong. Amen. Once you've broken through the barriers to get from sinful living into living for God, once you've gone through whatever you had to go through to get there, you have some knowledge that not every spirit is a true spirit or a truthful spirit. There are some things that come into our lives that seem like God. And it comes along with things like, hey, this feels so good, it has to be God. This seems so right, it must be God. Amen. This thing that is happening in my life, even though it's taking me away from church and it's taking me out, and it's such a blessing to me because I've always longed for these things, and I know I can't go to church and I can't be part of what I was once a part of, but this is such a blessing. Be careful with that kind of a spirit. See, God's truth is just settled. It's the Word of God that doesn't change. And no matter what we see as opportunity, we still have to deal with, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that came from God. That didn't come from the devil, and that didn't come from any lying spirit. That came from God. It would be easy as we grow in time for those spirits to start getting on people who start coming to church, and they find out it's easier just to watch us and listen to us at home. And if there's anybody that's here that's at home for any reason, today that sometimes you go to church or you're here sometimes, I'm not addressing this to you. I'm just talking about some things that do happen. And sometimes there are physical conditions, sometimes there are reasons. And when I say these things, it's not attacking any individual. But see, no matter what I say, or what any preacher says, there are spirits ready to take those words and intercept them and try to cause them to be interpreted in a way that it's not intended of God. Amen. And these words that I was reading, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. How do you try the spirits? Well, it's good to read the Word of God and stay fresh in the Word of God. It's good to stay in the Bible and know what the Lord has to say. If we don't read it once in a while, we may not remember what it says. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you're going through school, once in a while, you do have to look at the textbook. Sometimes you do have to study in order to know what the answer is to the questions. And when you have these questions, is this of God or is this not of God? Or is this right or is this wrong? Or is this the truth that I should believe? Or is this something maybe that is not true? If you have a good knowledge of what is written in the Word of God, it'll help you to come out with the right answers. Amen. It'll help you to come out with the right answers. Amen. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Amen. And you're not going to have any devil come up to you and say, I am a prophet. Hear ye me. But these false prophets are walking around in flesh. They are known as human beings. And they look very much like people. And see, when you see some people that are all dressed up and smiling and walking like they know where they're going, sometimes it's easy to listen to what they have to say. And there are some folks that will say things to you that seem right until you consider the word of the Lord. And those are false prophets. But these spirits that are not of God, that are antichrist, get involved, and these people who are not serving God are sort of at their mercy. When you're not serving God, you're going to serve something. You're going to follow something, whether you realize it or not. Amen. That's why there are so many things, so many vices, so many habits, so many things to try to keep people going, to give them an up or make them feel better. And sometimes they become enslaved to various things that they just started out just a little bit, and then it just became something that got a hold of them. And it doesn't always appear just all of a sudden, you know, thus saith the great prophet, I am the one you are to listen to. But these false prophets slip up on you as your kinfolks, as your friends, as your neighbors, as acquaintances that you have confidence in, as your employer or people that work for you, people you become attached to and you start liking them and you get familiar with their ways and you just think of them as a friend. And so I'm not talking about, when I say false prophets, I'm not necessarily talking about TV ministries or radio ministries or any of the preachers that you know that are false today. But some of the greatest false prophets that you have to deal with are those that are closest to you. Yeah. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you can overcome your own personal feelings and thoughts that are not of God, and keep yourself in victory, you'll be able to recognize better some of these others who are not living in victory. But they not intentionally do things to try to take the victory away from the people of God. Your friends don't want to hurt you. Amen. Your neighbors don't want to destroy. Stop those children. They need to be sitting down while I'm preaching. Amen. Your neighbors don't want to hurt you. Amen. And your church friends don't want to hurt you. But there are people who don't realize that they are capable of hurting you just because they have yielded their lives to something other than God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to go somewhere with this and get there real fast and get through. Amen. But these spirits that we are not to believe, amen, they do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now you may be thinking, well, it's easy to believe that Jesus came in the flesh, but there's more flesh than the flesh that walked on the streets of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Amen. Jesus still comes in the flesh today. And see, sometimes a child of God will do something, and somebody that knows you only sees how they think you are, and they don't recognize that Jesus is doing something in your life. Hallelujah. And so, what they see is what they see. But what you know is what you know. Some little small thing that you're doing maybe is unto the Lord. And your closest friends, your closest ties, your family, your neighbors, and your children, they may not understand what's going on, and they would never confess that that is Jesus. That's just you. Because they're not serving God. And they would like to take you your attention off of whatever it is that's causing you to do those things and grab some of that time. Amen. And we all know we need to take time with our families. We need to take time with our acquaintances. We need to be friends with the neighbors. We need to be friends in the community. But don't ever let any tie of this world convince you that you don't need to spend a lot of quality time with God. Hallelujah. And don't ever feel condemned or guilty in any way. Praise God. Of putting God first over everything you're involved in, including those that you love the most. Because if you really love somebody, you're going to love God so much that that love for God is going to help you to take care of that person that you love. Hallelujah. And the only way to show that you don't really love them is give in to that which does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's Antichrist. Amen. I know people, in fact, I've seen some in these church services right here in Norwich on video. People just worshiping God with tears streaming down their face and hungry for the Lord and reaching for the Lord and standing right beside them. People looking around like nothing's going on. Nothing's going on. People can be standing side by side and one of them is in tune with the true Spirit of God and the other one is being influenced by the Antichrist spirit. Because anything that tries in any way to pay attention to anything other than what God is doing in the place that's designated. You know what? We're in church right now. There's preaching going on right now. Amen. There is anointing power of God in demonstration that will heal you, wash you, set you free, make a difference in your life. And the church, the house of the living God, is dedicated to the Lord. And this moment, while we meet here, is to be full of respect and worship, and giving unto God, and your minds, and my heart needs to be in here 100%. 100%. And that's why for 20 years I've been coming in here saying, stop it. Quit it. Don't do that. And I want you parents to make your children behave themselves, because I shouldn't have to do it from here. Praise God. Even Brother Mike was trying to talk to him the other night. He meant no harm whatsoever. But I said, I want to hear Brother Bradley. He was trying to explain something that I needed to hear back there. But I don't need to hear or pay attention to anything, even though we are broadcasting more than what's coming across this pulpit when I come into this church. I want to know what thus saith the word of the Lord. I want to know what the Spirit of God is doing in your flesh. I want to hear your testimonies. I want you to hear what I've got to say, because I didn't prepare myself today in prayer to come up here and just talk to a bunch of empty faces. I came here to spend a quality moment on behalf of Almighty God to let you know that God is in this place. The true Spirit of God is in this place. And this is a dedicated place of worship tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when it's not special to us, when it's not absolutely worship, what is it? What has it become when it becomes something where our minds drift? We have all day for drifting minds. Somehow we need to gird up the loins of our minds, because even our own human thoughts can become like a false prophet. Hallelujah. It's easy to come up with excuses. You know, I felt like doing this, but because of so and so, you know, because of this, because of that, I didn't do it. I felt like the Lord wanted me to say these words, but I held back because really, I didn't feel like I should say them. Well, wait a minute now. Listen to the words that are being spoken here. I felt like the Lord wanted me to say some words, but I really didn't feel like I should say them. Ever been through that? I just felt like jumping out of my seat and hollering, hallelujah! But then I thought about it. You know, and I didn't want to disturb everybody, and I held back. I wonder what would happen if all the false spirits that get into our minds would suddenly get rebuked and be removed. What kind of church service would we have? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything that wants to distract or pull our thoughts aside, if they were all taken out of our services. Amen. Hallelujah. If when you feel like giving it all you got, instead of stopping to think about that and what the consequences might be, wonder what would happen if we all just went ahead and gave it all we got. Hallelujah. Well, there's no spirit that says, well, we've been doing this for 20 years. We do the same thing over and over. We have the same song, same crowd, same testimonies. Basically the same thing every time we go to church. I beg your pardon, you lying spirit. If that spirit's ever got in your mind, you need to kill it. Drive it out of your life. Amen. Every time I go to church, I'm taking another step forward. I've come into a new territory where I have never been before. Hallelujah. We're marching to the city of God. Amen. We have fought some enemies that we never had to fight before this service. Amen. We have fought and conquered, before last service. Last service was good. We needed that service to be here, there. But that was Tuesday night. Tonight is Thursday night. And I've had to fight a few devils between Tuesday and Thursday. I won. Hallelujah. I won. Are you winning? Praise God. Praise God. And this coming Sunday, we're going to have church in this place. Between now and then, I'm going to walk with God. wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, I'm going to walk with God by the help of God. Amen. Somewhere along the way, there's going to be something pulling me this way, pulling me that way. Thoughts coming into my mind, imaginations, and all kinds of things to distract and to try to say, you need to do this, you need to do that, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that. And if we listen to all these spirits that get in all of our friends and all of our family and in our own minds, we can all come up with a long list of reasons why we don't even need to bother to come around this weekend. Hallelujah. It's not all just about church attendance. But I am saying to that spirit that says, it's not important, it's always the same every time. Look, if you're out there somewhere and you could have been here tonight, and you're not here, there's a lying spirit telling you that it's not important to go to church when the church door is open. And it's not coming from your neighbor, it's not coming from your daddy, your mama, or your kids, it's coming from your own brain. And if you've got a spirit in your hide that's against Jesus Christ, how do you expect to go to heaven? Hallelujah. Believe not every spirit. I want to tell you, there are people that come up with the flimsiest excuses to not go to church. Hallelujah. And you know, I'm not the judge of when they're, you know, when they should or shouldn't. I just know that Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, like I said, it's not all about church attendance tonight. But why are we here? What is church? What is assembling ourselves together? Is this Satan worship? Is this just something for feeble-minded people to get together and spend some time because they don't have anything else to do? Is this just a ritual that we do because we're supposed to do it, or we've always done it? Or is it really church? And if it's really church, is not the church the bride of Christ? The body of Christ? If the church is the body of Christ, and this is the assembling place of the church for me and for you, then I need to take another look at that scripture and see if there's some meaning that I might have missed. For this cause there are many sickly among you, who don't rightly discern the body of Christ. You want to get healed? When you finally show up after three or four more times of missing because you felt bad, and you come and you want to be prayed for. The best way to get healed is to discern this to be the body of Christ. And God's going to take care of His body. Just make sure you're in it. Hallelujah. But this spirit that says, you don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. Well, one way to judge these bad spirits, they usually use sight, hearing, touch, feelings, the senses. God is above that. He bypasses many of these things. So you can feel your very worst, and you can just have a hallelujah time. Praise God.
Oh, hallelujah.
It could have been an awful, awful week. Hallelujah. And you can shout victoriously. Praise God. You can have a headache, a backache, and your toes might be crooked and hurting. But there's something about the presence of God when you're in the true spirit of God. Once in a while, you get your mind off of those things, and after a while, you start realizing the head doesn't hurt anymore. And the feeling of being down, it's not like it was. There are people tonight all around this world who have been missing church services in their local assemblies. And they don't know why. They're so frustrated and so down and so hopeless. And it just seems to get worse and worse and worse. Well, if God is true, and if the church is His plan for our lives, hallelujah, why not bring all your discouraging feelings and all your hopelessness and all your feelings of not doing like you should do and not being what you should be? Why not just bring it to the house of God? You know what the church really is? It's the emergency room on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. When you get in trouble and you get hurt, run to the church. Thank you, Jesus. The Antichrist spirit says, stay home. We had an old sister in our church years ago. She said, I was so sick tonight, I decided I need to go to church. Mm-mm. Believe not all these spirits. Try the spirits, whether they are of God. Many false prophets have come. We're instructed to love one another. Amen. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen. Now, you could take that one scripture and say, if you listen to some of these false prophets, false spirits, say, well, all you got to do is love. That's the plan of salvation. But with godly knowledge and just considering the Word of God, not taking one scripture and twisting it out of context, amen. To really know what real love is all about, you need God in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To truly love one another, you need God, and God is love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. So don't take words like, if you love, that means you know God. No. It's true, but there are many kinds of love. Amen. But if you know God, then you can be one who loves. Praise God. And if you can't love, that means you don't know God. Amen. And this is manifested, or was manifested, the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Amen. Amen. How do you perfect the love of God? Amen. Because it doesn't get any better than it already is. But this love of God being perfected in us has to do with us learning to deal with the fleshly issue in our lives. Amen. There are some things that are lacking and we need some help. Amen. Because we get this love of God flowing just right. See, I know a minister and his wife who fight like cats and dogs every day till they get to church. To be around them, these are people, they're not around here, they're hundreds of miles away. But to be around them, you would think these people absolutely hate one another. But during that little hour and a half they spend at church, you would think these folks are model Christians. But before church, and after church, and all in between the services, if you're around those people, and I've known them for years, they are at each other's throat day and night. And I honestly believe, from knowing them all these years, if one of them just happened to say yes, the other one's automatically going to say no. Doesn't matter what it's about. It's just in them. They just have come into this lifestyle of we just fight all the time. Amen. So what is that in reality? To go to church and be Mr. Nice Guy and Mrs. Nice Lady and worship and treat everybody with respect and treat each other real nice. You know what God would call that? Hypocrisy. Amen. Hypocrisy is very prevalent in the world. There are some people who you would never know that they ever had any kind of an experience with God until you meet them at church. Because in between services, there is no godliness. There is no worship. There is no prayer. And there is fussing and fighting and talking about the things of the world a lot. You see, these spirits can be tried and can be found real easy. If you or anybody you know is constantly thinking of the things of this world, and the things of this life, and if you get so upset if somebody happens to mess up your plans to better your opportunity in this life, or something goes wrong and you lose a material possession, and it hurts you so bad that you're so down that you don't think you can even get up again, something's wrong. Amen. There is a spirit not confessing that Jesus has come in your life. Because when Jesus is truly in our lives, you can lose everything you've got. You may cry a while. You may be disappointed because we have that human element to deal with. But the final victory is this. You'll come out of it on fire for God. You'll come out of it saying, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I know my Redeemer lives. I know that I'm living for God. Hallelujah! And I don't know why I'm going through this fire, and I don't know why I can't keep all these things, and I don't know why I can't go forward and do what it is I wanted to do, but if God sees fit not to take me that direction, and if God sees fit for me not to have these things, it's just me and you, Lord. Hallelujah, because I am confessing right now that Jesus Christ is in my life. That Jesus Christ is in my life. And if there's any thought, any imagination that says otherwise, I cast it out. I cast it down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. That's what the Bible says. See, if you read your Bible, and I know we do, it tells us to do that. And these evil imaginations come. Cast them down. Cast them down. Amen. Treat your thoughts just like God treated Lucifer. Lucifer, you're not right. Down you go. That thought is not right. Down it goes. Hallelujah. Don't wait till you get to church. Amen. Yeah, it's a blessing to be in church. And I talked about how important it is that we do assemble ourselves together. But something equally important is this. When you leave this plot of ground where this building sits, you're still part of the church. Hallelujah. On Monday, you're a child of God. On Tuesday, you're a child of God. We used to sing that song, "Ain't It a Shame to Fish on Sunday, Ain't It a Shame? Ain't it a shame to fish on Sunday, ain't it a shame? Ain't it a shame to fish on Sunday when you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday? Ain't it a shame to fish on Sunday, ain't it a shame?" Well, I never did really agree with that verse, but then we would sing these other verses. "Ain't it a shame to lie on Sunday, ain't it a shame? When you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday. To do what? Lie? Ain't it a shame to steal on Sunday when you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?" Verses. The songbook just was full of verses. Amen. "Ain't it a shame to sin? To commit sin on Sunday when you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday? Ain't it a shame to sin on Sunday?" Praise God. Hey, if we're sinning Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday, amen, you might as well admit it, you're sinning on Sunday too. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We need to take our victory that we bring to church. We enter into the house of God with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. When we leave this place, we need to continue to praise the Lord. Amen. We may not raise our hands all the time out there. Amen. There's a place where it's conducive to worship. We come here, you're not going to get stared at by a bunch of strangers when you raise your hands and shout hallelujah. Praise God. That's one thing good about assembling in a place like this. You can just worship God and everything is orderly here. It's okay. Praise God. There's some places on your job you may not do it exactly the same way you do it here. But while you're on the job, remember who you are. Amen. While you're at school, remember who you are. While you're at home, remember who you are. While you're driving that car with your family, remember who you are. Praise God. You're a child of God. You're a child of God with love of God in your heart. Whosoever. Now let me go back a ways. Amen. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love." Now these words, another way to say it is, let me say it like this. Love is not something that God just possesses. It's not just something that God owns. It's what God is. Hallelujah. That's why God cannot do wrong. He is love. And whatever He does, it's because of what He is. And something has to be moved out of the way. If something has to be destroyed, if something has to be changed, it's because of love if you're trying to serve God. Hallelujah. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love. I'm not talking about boyfriend, girlfriend, if you love me, I love you too type stuff. I'm talking about the kind of love that has no other... nothing. Agape. It's unmerited. You didn't have to do anything to deserve it. And you don't have to do anything to make it keep happening. No matter what happens in your life, God continues to be love. No matter what goes wrong and what kind of a mess you get yourself in, God is still love. Don't be afraid to go to love. You might get in trouble in this world and you may be afraid to go to a judge because he may not be love. But if you get in trouble with God, if you've been sinning, if you got messed up, if your mind got twisted, if you got yourself in a bad spot, don't be afraid to come to God. Because God is love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. No wonder the Word tells us to come boldly to the throne to find help in the time of need. Praise God. Amen. You come to court to hear the judge say, "I love you." That's not the way the world does it. Praise God. He meets you at the courtroom and you walk in with all your guilt, with all your shame, with all the mess in your life. And he says, "Come in, I love you." Hallelujah. And it's amazing what love can do. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing. Amen. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Son of God, is the Son of God. Amen. I hear these people say, "I'm a backslider." Some of them say it like they're a little bit proud of it. "I'm a backslider. I once was an apostolic," or "I once had the Holy Ghost. I once did this. I don't want to hear it. I'm just not interested." Amen. When they start that, I don't want to hear what they have to say. I'm sorry. There's no past tense in a relationship with God. If you're such a miserable, wretched creature that you can't let God love you and keep you, don't contaminate my thoughts with your lack of ability to find His love. I don't want to hear it. I'll listen to your hope. I'll listen to you say, "I wish I could get help." I'll listen to you say, "Pray for me, I'm in a mess." I don't want to hear you say, "I've turned my back on God." I'm not interested in hearing that. Hallelujah. Only a devil can do that. And I'm not interested in listening to devils. Because if somebody turns their back on God, they also have a lot of things to tell you. A lot of reasons why. A man down in Texas told me, "I used to preach. I was in the gospel. I had this church. I pastored the church. And now I'm in a car dealership and I don't even go to church anymore." And he had this big proud look on his face. And he says, "And I've got money." He said, "You want to hear more?" I said, "No." "Don't you want to hear how I succeeded?" "No. All I heard was defeat." I don't care if you own 10,000 Cadillacs. If you walk away from God to get them, you've lost everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm closing. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how we got here, because he loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. For God so loved the world. Thank you, Jesus. If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, How can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Hallelujah. Let us stand. Thank you, Jesus. So that preacher and his wife that can't get along with each other. Amen. And yet they go to church and they act like everything's all right. How do they fit into all this? They don't. They don't. I listened to a man who was very popular over a Bible college, and his brother, they were both very busy in church work. I'm going to tell you something, you can get so busy in church work that you may get too interested in the work and lose what you're there for. Amen. Don't ever let anything we do get in the way of our love for God and our love that we experience in God. Praise God. And this man said, close the door behind you. I want to tell you something. And he said these words to me concerning his brother, his natural brother, also his preacher brother. They were both preachers. He said these words, Brother Rutledge, you may not understand this, he said, but I absolutely despise my brother. No, I don't understand that. And then he started giving me all these reasons, because he did this, because he did this, and because I remember when he did this, and I know how he does this, and I know. And he told me all, he just spilled his guts out, telling me all the bad stuff about his brother. And I said, but I want to ask you a question. When I go to church, you're both sitting on the platform, side by side, and you're working together. And I said, you seem to love each other at church. And he leaned forward, this preacher leaned forward, and he said, it's just an act. Ain't it a shame to act on Sunday when you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? I hope and pray that nobody in this congregation ever enters into a thing of living for God so long and so much, and you go through the motions so much that it just becomes something you can act out. I'm going to tell you something. If that man hasn't repented of that sin, he's on his way to hell. If that brother and sister that pastors that church that I was talking about that can't get along with each other, if they can't get that straightened out and start caring about each other, they're going to hell. Praise God. Amen. But the thing about it, I said if. Because God is love. God is love. God is love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Through the years, I've been known to get on to people, not just in Norwich, but in other places. There's an old spirit, come on around the front, there's an old spirit that wants to jump on people just before church and right after church. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but I've been around some big congregations where I heard many people talk about these things. Maybe you've experienced it too. Some of the biggest arguments happen either on your way to church or going home from church. Because there is an enemy that wants to steal every blessing you get and wants to distract you from hearing what the Word of God has to say to you. Hallelujah. Right at church time, the phone will ring. And somebody will say words to you to make you feel terrible. I know, tonight, didn't you? Right before church. just to make you feel terrible. So you're all prepared. Yeah, I saw Brother Dan over there playing that guitar, all happy, looking forward to worshiping God. The phone rings. And I saw him over there, hung up. And I saw him walking around like, oh man, you know. But I see him still praising God anyhow. Hallelujah. Yeah. While I was preaching tonight, my sister fell, and she's in the hospital. While I was preaching, my sister fell. I received this message while I was preaching. And she's in the hospital. She may be seriously hurt, and I hope she's not. And I dearly love my sister Brenda. She has brittle bones like I do. A fall can be very serious for her or for me. Amen. Depending on where she fell and how she fell, it can be very serious. Am I concerned? Yes, I am. Praise God. But what better place could I be right now in my concern for my sister than in a loving group of people? Amen. Amen. You think I'm going to fold up my Bible and quit preaching just because I heard that news? No, that's all the more reason to keep telling about the love of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So pray for it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It doesn't want to confess that Jesus Christ is come in your life. That spirit, it doesn't want to confess it. It doesn't want to give up. It wants to keep its hold on you. Amen. It wants to keep you distracted, keep you bothered. So what are we going to do about that? I tell you what to do. You confess. You confess. Confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No matter what that spirit doesn't want to confess, it's true anyhow. I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's what believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth is all about. No matter what it seems like, with all my heart, I believe what I'm preaching tonight. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm confessing and believing that Jesus is the love of my life. In our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you have a hard time confessing that Jesus is absolutely Lord and that you have the power of God greater in you than he that's in the world, if you have a hard time confessing that, whatever it is that's blocking your ability to confess, it needs to be kicked out of your life. Praise God. It's Antichrist. It's Antichrist. Praise God. People are looking for the man of sin. They're trying to find the man of sin. It's been going on for hundreds of years. Amen. Well, just look. Just look at the next person you come in contact with. That'll be your man of sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. What about the mark of the beast? Where do you find that? Well, just walk outside these doors and you're going to find it on their heads and in their right hand. Praise God. It's not going to be the number 666. That is God's way of giving man a number. Man's humanity number, 666. In other words, man is 6, God is 7. Hallelujah. But you're going to find in the heads of people, amen, something that's not of God. Thoughts, knowledge, evil-minded people constantly devising evil schemes. That's the mark in their forehead. And then they go about and do these things. That's the mark in their hand. They've got the power to do some things that they can imagine themselves able to do. If I can imagine it, I can do it. That's 666. And if you're waiting on the day when you're going to see these numbers marked on people's heads, and if you get all scared about the computers and the detectors in the supermarkets and numbers on various government cards and so forth, you're missing some things. You're missing some things. Praise God. Cast out all that fear with love. Perfect love. Love God with all your heart. Amen. And God will help you to realize you don't have to take the mark. Amen. You don't ever have to bow down to any man of sin. Let us praise God again tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.